the difference. It's going to be a big weekend, though, and I have a really big show planned for you today. I was initially going to have Casper Stockholm. He's running for the CD4 seat, Congressional District 4 seat, currently heard or held by Diana DeGette, and then State Senate, U.S. Senate candidate Daryl Glenn, and the GOP vice chair, Derek Wilburn, on the show at 2 o'clock, but Daryl Glenn cannot make it. So we're going to have Casper and Derek on to talk about something. It's an interesting phenomenon, and you know, you can decide whether or not there's a story here or not. If you can decide if there's a there. But we have in Colorado, which I don't know if you've noticed, we're like a really white state, okay? We're a very white state. Denver is one of the whitest places I've ever lived. And we have a large Hispanic population that have been here, you know, way longer than I have. And, you know, they're native Coloradans, but they are of Hispanic descent. But this is not a huge hotbed of African-American, you know, just living yet. I'm sure it will be at some point. But in Colorado, we have a very interesting story going on. We have three African-Americans on the move in the Republican Party, one of them being Derek Wilburn, who's the vice chair of the GOP. Great guy. I've known Derek now for 3 years, and I really like him. Casper Stockholm, who is running against Diana DeGette in the 4th Congressional District, and Daryl Glenn, who is running against Michael Bennett for the U.S. Senate seat. And yet, do you think this remarkable story about three black Republicans on the rise should get any coverage? Well, yeah, it probably should, but yet nothing. Nothing. It's kind of an interesting situation. So we'll have Derek and Casper on at 2 o'clock. Looking forward to that conversation. 2:08 on a Friday, and joining me in the studio, I have, as it's been described by someone else, not me, but I'm stealing it. It's the Republican Oreo, my friends. We've got Casper Stockholm running for CD1. I said CD4 like six times. Again, but I did say against your opponent, so there I did get the opponent right. And then we have Steve House, the chair of the Colorado GOP. And we have Derek Wilburn, the vice chair of the Colorado GOP.
I am.
And Steve, the pastiest white man, is being flanked by two African-American gentlemen. And I normally wouldn't point that out in such a crass manner, but, we're having a discussion about race today in a way. And Derek, you start, because you reached out to me with something that I thought was an incredibly valid point about something that's not happening in Colorado right now, while something really exciting is happening in Colorado right now.
Correct. We were originally going to be joined by Daryl, but he had a last-minute conflict. Stuff like that happens when you're running a senatorial campaign, we all understand. But what I reached out to you, what we have happening in Colorado right now is historic. It is literally historic. This has never happened, to my knowledge, before in the history of our country. We have, so liberals are always screaming, Republicans have no blacks, Republicans have no blacks.
Sure.
You have a sitting elected vice chairman of the state party, that being me. We have two candidates for federal office, a candidate for the United States Senate and a candidate for the United States House of Representatives. The candidate for the United States Senate had to kick out another black guy just to get on the ballot, but Casper and Daryl are on the ballot. They are the Republican representatives. So you would think that the media in general, and the Denver Post in specific, being the major print voice in our state, would be all over this story.
Well, they've certainly been very vocal about the historic nature of Hillary Clinton's run.
Yes,
they have.
It's historic.
And I'll tell you what they've done for us, or have not.
Wait, why don't you just read what they've done for you? Read it right now. I know you brought it with you.
You don't have that kind of time.
Yeah, we have that kind of time.
The Post has never contacted me ever, not one time, to interview me, to get a quote, to put my picture in their paper. Hey, this is a neat thing. They've run one hashtag on Casper, one, and that was a mention in a story about his opponent. They've run one story on Daryl Glenn, and that was an attack piece when they went back 30 years, back to when he was a teenager, and tried to pin some stuff that he did as an 18-year-old on him. That's it.
So what you're telling me is there seems to be a lack of coverage that should you all be having this historic moment in a different party, you believe would be different.
No question.
Yeah,
no
that's question. Casper,
yeah.
By the way.
It's Casper Stockholm. Yeah. No question. Yeah, they have been ignoring my campaign. I've been out here for over a year running.
Yeah, I met you on KHOW.
Exactly.
I met you and Daryl at the same time on
exactly.
KHOW. So yeah. That was over a year ago,
over
wasn't
a year
it?
Ago.
That was like 18 months ago.
Yes, ma'am.
I still remember that. And I actually thought to myself, well, this is kind of remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. This is kind of remarkable. So what is going on in your race? I mean, here's the problem for you, Casper, and I'm not going to give them any excuses, but I'll tell you what they think.
Mm-hmm.
They think, oh, he didn't have a chance.
Right.
Diana DeGette's so popular, and that district is so safe. Why are we? This is the excuses that they're telling themselves.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
so what they should be saying is that they should be showcasing me to show how much I don't have a chance. And run it.
Look
nice,
at this guy who thinks he's got it. Well,
yeah, I actually want a hit piece run on me so I can finally get some press.
Well, yes. If they're not talking, at least if they're talking about you, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you're obviously not scandalous enough. You haven't. You're obviously. Just too obviously too nice a guy. Yeah. So you haven't given him any fodder.
I've had a couple of liberal press outfits interview me.
Yeah.
And the interview never hits the street because after they interview me, they're like, we can't play that.
Can I give you a suggestion when you do start getting interviews? Because I have a feeling this might create a grudge situation where they're, oh, dang it, we got to do something.
Yeah.
Record the interviews.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I finally learned that the hard way. It's like you do an interview and then something else comes out. And you're like, what the heck just happened here? I mean, first I got a call from Don. Don's legally blind. Guess what? He doesn't care what color you are. Hi, Don. You're on KOA News Radio.
I haven't cared for so many years. I can't remember. I just, you know, to me, in fact, it might come of interest to you. I didn't even know Derek Lynn was black.
He doesn't know it either, so.
Well, I mean, it's the old joke, you know, why Ray Charles is smiling all the time. Nobody ever told him.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's how it should be.
So what matters to you as a voter, Don?
You know, that to me, that's what I so let's have a debate, blindfold the entire, who's a damn.
Blindfold the entire audience, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what you have on radio, with all due respect.
Well, I realize that. So if we had the debate on radio with a bunch of people and they had no cameras, then let people decide on what they hear instead of what they think or see, because that's where people usually judge anyway. Most politicians are looked at how good do they look in front of the camera.
I look pretty good. I just want to let you know.
Well, I'm sure you do. I guess. Far be it from me to vote for you for that reason only.
Mm-hmm. Well, but that's always a good reason. I mean, let's face it, that's really
the
best reason.
See, that's what happens in elections anymore. It's all about, you know, we don't listen to the issues. We look at the colors. Too damn bad.
Yep. I appreciate the phone call, Don. Very OP. Casper is in today because there has been, I think it's fair to say that your frustration is growing.
There's been a media blackout. No pun intended.
I was going to say, I think it sounds like a media whiteout. Okay. I'm just throwing that out there. I did a quick survey. I did a quick search online because I thought maybe we're overblowing this. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're. So I went to the Denver Post and I put in your name, Casper Stockham.
Cool.
Surely there's going to, you know, lots of stuff comes up.
Yeah.
So I got four stories.
Okay.
Two of which are repeated. So technically I got three stories. All here right. are the headlines. Republicans hedge on supporting Donald Trump at the second day of Western Conservative Summit. Then there is Diana DeGette handily defeats rare primary opponent for Democratic nod for Congress. And DeGette debates on experience, primary challenger bucks her status quo.
Yeah.
So two of them headline your opponent, but you get a mention.
Hold on. Her primary challenger is not me.
Correct. But she did debate him,
yeah.
Which begs the question, why would she debate a white guy but not debate a black guy? I think there's a racist problem here.
Yeah,
I'm just throwing that out there. Yeah, see? Now you should just go with that.
Well, and before we go deep into Casper's race, which we will, do the same thing for Daryl Glenn. I mean, here's a smattering of headlines for Daryl. What is Daryl Glenn's abortion position? It's not entirely clear. Are Republicans writing off Daryl Glenn's U.S. Senate race? And on, there's a handful for Daryl, and they're all basically why he's a loser, why he can't win, and what he's doing wrong.
Sure.
And you think that someone at the Post would, if nothing else, sit down with Casper and Daryl and ask this stunning, startling question. When were you born? Where were you born?
Tell us about yourself.
Tell us about your family.
Yeah.
How did you come to the place where you believe some of the things that you believe?
And I did an interview today with the Hispanic paper, a weekly paper, and he asked me those questions. Where were you born? You know.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Hmm.
They've never done that to me, ever. I mean,
stuff,
not
just things.
One word.
Yeah. Let's talk about...
And when it comes to the black community, I mean, let's look at Detroit. Let's look at Chicago. We all know that are on the conservative side that the liberal policies are massive failures.
Right.
So you can't sell that agenda. You can't tell people we want to take away more of your liberty. We want to take more of your money and funnel it into the government. We want to restrict your rights to travel and increase fuel prices. We can't... You can't sell that. So what you sell instead is Republicans hate blacks.
Right.
Republicans hate browns. Republicans hate gays. Republicans want to push grandma off the cliff in her wheelchair.
Yep.
Hate, 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 hate.
Yeah. And how you combat that, in my opinion, is using third world and first world analogies. So, for example, when you talk to the average Republican, they talk first world stuff. So they talk about the budget. They talk about fighting ISIS. They talk about freedom and liberty. Those are all first world problems. In the community, their mentality is third world. So they're focused on...
How do I put food on the table?
How do I put food on the table, affordable housing, you know, their jobs, homelessness.
How do you address those issues with conservative principles in a way? This has been one of my frustrations with... KOA News Radio time, 3:07 p.m. in the afternoon on a Friday, and I am joined in the studio by Derek Wilburn, vice chair of the Colorado GOP.
Woohoo!
He's black. Steve House, chair of the Colorado GOP, he's white, and Casper Stockham, he is running for the congressional seat currently held by longtime Washington insider. I'm going there. Diana DeGette, 20 years is long enough. CD1, Casper Stockham, he is also black. Yeah. So,
Steve is now an honorary brother, so he actually counts.
Yeah,
he's honorary.
Can he dance now? Did you check? Did you give him the dance test?
Don't push it.
Yeah, let's just throw all the stereotypes out there that we can, okay?
I got
greens
one
and pig knuckles.
Please.
Casper is getting so little coverage from the media that people don't even know how old he is. I mean, I tell people all the time he's 90 years old, really good looking. They have no idea whether I'm telling the truth or not.
Wait, I see it. You know, maybe we should have people call in with suggested headlines for the Denver Post for a story about Casper.
Yeah.
Because essentially, right now, you are Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Right.
Because you do not exist to the media.
Exist,
so
exactly.
Maybe that's how you pitch yourself. It's like, here, I'm Casper the Friendly Ghost. Come out, check me out.
Well, you know, you pose an interesting...
You can see me?
You would like to see some kind of urban renewal that would not necessarily push out the people who are traditionally in that neighborhood. Now, I'm sure you're not against integrating the neighborhood a little more. Yeah, it's like move in.
Yeah.
How do you do that and not have to use government to make it happen? That's the concern that occurs. When you say urban renewal, we say, oh, crap, here's tax dollars in the toilet. How do you make that happen?
Yeah,
what's the reality?
Government is the reason why it's like it is. They're the problem. They told us, and I say they is the government, the city council and the mayor, who were black at the time, they told us that it was going to bring in jobs. They're the problem. What I'm talking about is an entrepreneurial free market solution to that location. So first of all, I'd like to save it and have the community come together so we can save that location and then turn it into a campaign office for a little while so we could keep it going,
mm-hmm.
and then find out what we want to do, a market solution to that location. And like Steve was talking about, start there and start to renew that entire community to keep the heritage of that community intact. So when I say that, I carry Constitution around with me. People ask me a lot of times, why am I Republican? Well, because I read the Constitution, and there's only one party that's attempting to protect my rights as a citizen. But in the community, they don't believe the Constitution has been written for them. They don't believe it's for them. They don't believe it applies to them, except for the protest kind of thing. So what I want to do is I want to go in and teach the Constitution to youth in the community and show them why they have privilege, why they have American privilege. You know, when Hillary talks about white privilege, well, to me, white privilege is American privilege that we all have, but we all don't realize it or whatever. When an immigrant comes to this country, the first thing they do is grab that book and they read it. They have to take a test on it. And so if it was for an immigrant who is not from here, it's definitely for people who were born here. But they really don't embrace it like they should. So I want to start teaching it.
This is a big question that I don't know if it, I'll get to it after I check on traffic. So hang on a second. I'm visiting with Casper Stockham. He is a candidate for the first congressional district. Steve House is in here from the Colorado GOP and the vice chair, Derek Wilburn, in the studio as well. KOA News Radio time, 3:17. We are talking with Casper Stockham. We are talking with Steve House. We are talking with Derek Wilburn. And I have no idea what I was about to ask you before the break because I have the memory of a sand gnat. So I apologize. But I do have John. John has a question for you. John, you're on with Casper and Derek and Steve.
Hi. I've always wondered, I'm a Republican, and it's good to hear articulate, intelligent men on the Republican Party such as you are. And I've always wondered why the Democrats have such a hold on the black vote. And the background information that I found on Democrats is that they're pretty much anti-black from the Civil War to the present day. The Ku Klux Klan was started by the Democratic Party. They voted against the Emancipation Proclamation of 1863 and hence Civil War. Mm-hmm. Al Gore's dad was one of the Democrats that voted against the Civil Rights Act 100 years later. And I think that welfare is basically modern slavery. They're voting for the welfare Santa Claus each and every time. Have you ever thought about going into the black community and educating?
You want to start first on that one?
We do it all the time. Well, there's two questions. Your first question was why does the Democrat Party have such a lock on the black vote? And you've answered your own question. It's a history lesson that dates back to Lyndon B. Johnson, and I believe that is the genesis, the two things that he instituted, the Model Cities Program and the Great Society. The Model Cities Program was originally founded in Rust Belt cities, Cleveland, Detroit, Scranton, some other cities in the Northeast, and we've seen the results of what's happened in Detroit thereafter. But what happened was you had one political party say to blacks, "We will help pay your rent. We will provide sustenance. We will get you diapers for your babies. We will get you the things that you need." Now, we see 50 years later how that's all worked out. But at the end of the day, it's easy to get Peter's vote if you can rob Paul to pay for it. So you have people who became pseudo-dependent on government in many ways. Now, for us to come along 50 years later and say, you know, it was Democrats that said to you, you know what, you black people, you can all live over there. And those things became drug-infested, crime-infested, you know, the inner-city projects that we know of today. So it's an economic thing. And what you mentioned about plantation, we hear this talk a lot. And I don't use this term a lot about blacks being on the plantation, because to me that ignores the fact that there are plenty of blacks who have examined the platforms of both parties, who have examined and intelligently looked at the candidates and made a decision that I am going to support Democrats because they more closely reflect my belief system. And there are plenty of people like that. But the nature of a plantation, it was once upon a time you were physically on a plantation, right? There's guys with dogs and whips and chains. You couldn't leave. The plantation you're talking about is economic. And you can be on the economic plantation in Louisiana, in New Hampshire, in Los Angeles. It doesn't matter. So breaking that cycle, the dependency on financial help, is the challenge. And that's how it all started with Lyndon B. Johnson.
So, and it was John, right?
But it's John. And I'm going to ask a sort of add in a question here, because the thing that I find the most disconcerting is the Democrats hammering not just the black community, but everybody else with the victimhood.
Right.
Because victimhood is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah. Victimhood is the biggest stumbling block to success. If you believe you're a victim, you quit trying.
Exactly.
And then you absolutely just wallow, and it's terrible.
If you tell someone they are disadvantaged long enough, and if it's a generational thing, each generation you tell them you're disadvantaged, after a while they're going to start believing it. I have a simple way to explain John's question, because a lot of Republicans ask me the same question. Well, if all this is true, why are they still voting that way? So think about this. If you're a missionary and you believe in Christianity, you go into a village. You don't go into the village and have them open up to John 3:16 and start converting them. You have to address their issues, whatever they are, at the time. So maybe it's food, maybe it's clothing, maybe it's shelter. You know, it's the level of needs. So
first you dig a well.
Get some water going on. You get those kind of things. Then you can start to explain to them or show them a way out of that situation. So we can't just, you can try, and Republicans have tried to go in and just say, you need to vote for me because we have the better plan. But that doesn't work.
We're not there yet.
Yeah.
It's relationship first.
That's what we were talking about earlier, Casper, when we were meeting, that we own the fact as Republicans that we have not invested in these communities in the way that we need to. And we do need to invest in them. Sometime outside of an election cycle, we need to go invest in them. We were talking about...
Steve, do you know how many times I've heard that exact same thing? With all due respect, I'm not busting your chops, but this has been a frustration for me for a long, long time because I am action-oriented. I am results-oriented. I'm a problem solver. It's what I do. And I have heard so many chairs of the Republican Party outside this election cycle, we need to go in and do something. Nobody ever does anything.
That's where you're wrong. We actually have.
I know. It just feels that way. I apologize. But I know I'm not the only one who thought that.
Right.
You know?
So Derek led this in one aspect, right? We've made an investment in getting to know the folks at the Urban League and the Ministerial Alliance. Why don't you explain that to him, Derek?
So I've been preaching, and listeners who know me, I've been preaching this for 5-6 years. You've heard me preach this, that it's relationship first. My mom used to give me the model for evangelicalism. My mom used to say, still does, make a friend, be a friend, lead a friend to Christ. That's the order. Same thing in politics. So we have been developing and putting seeds in the community and showing up at different events for years. Steve and I now have a working relationship with the president of the Denver Urban League. Sean is a Democrat, but not a liberal. We have a functioning working relationship with the Greater Metropolitan Denver Ministerial Alliance, which is the Black Pastors Association, where we went down. One of the first meetings I set up when we got elected was with the leadership of the GMDMA, the Ministerial Alliance. We went down to Five Points and met them at a coffee shop, and they looked at us and said, you know, we've been waiting for this meeting for years. You know, we know we're being taken for granted. We're not stupid. You know, we know the Democrats taking us for granted, but sometimes the devil that you know
is worse.
Is better than the one that you don't. So if you Republicans are going to start coming around, we'll give you the time of day. And since that time, Steve and I have met with them multiple times. The president, Del Phillips, and I meet regularly for lunch or coffee. And now we have marched. Casper's had a meeting in front of them. We've got a meeting set up with Daryl in a couple of weeks where they want to sit and listen to platform. We had a flare up here about a month or so ago with a meme, a county chair posted on the internet. Rather than let that become a fire, we brought her in and we sat and talked with them and said, okay, how can we work together to resolve these things? And the relationship here in Colorado is growing.
That's good to hear. I mean, that's good to hear. For me, you know, talking about what's going on in Five Points and the Republican Party has so many business leaders, so many people that have so much experience and so much knowledge to lend in that situation that's where I think that I feel like we've been missing out. Like, we're going to hang on. You guys want to stick around for one more segment? Yeah, just take up the whole show.
I want to share an idea about Solomon's Records.
We'll do that after that. Steve House, Casper Stockham's in here. He's running for CD1. And Derek Wilburn,
come up.
Just an all-around great guy, vice chair of the Republican Party. Radio time, 3:37, visiting with Derek Wilburn, vice chair of the Colorado GOP, Steve House, he's the chair of the Colorado GOP, and Casper Stockham, he's running for CD1 against Diana DeGette. We started this conversation for people that are just joining us to bring attention to the fact that in Colorado, there's an historic thing happening in that there are Black Republicans on the rise. Casper is Black. Daryl Glenn is Black.
Right.
Derek Wilburn is Black. Right. You would think that would be newsworthy,
right.
And yet they are ghosting Casper
right.
at the Denver Post and other news media outlets. I'm totally using that, by the way. I think that's close as hell. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah.
So we're bringing this on to maybe push the envelope a little bit.
Sure,
we're also trying to pressure Diana DeGette to debate because she debated her white primary opponent and draw your own conclusions about why she won't debate the Black man.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Right.
Throwing that out
there. And the average Republican says, yeah, but why do we have to even go there? And the reason why we have to go there is because the other side has been going there and trying to say that we don't exist.
Yeah.
Or to say that the Republican Party is racist or that Trump's a racist or whatever. You know, we have to stop allowing them to control that narrative. So that's why, unfortunately, we have to go there.
You are practically like a unicorn. You'd think they would be excited about that.
Transparent unicorn.
There you go. I want to take this call, and then we're going to talk about Solomon's Records.
It's extremely well-spoken. And I tell you, he raises a very good point when we're talking about victim mentality and how it manifests itself at the ballot box. blocks. And here's how. So I was born in Chicago. In Chicago, Illinois, you haven't had a Republican in control of anything in any neighborhood, let alone black neighborhoods.
But it's been organized.
It's been extraordinarily organized. And that's the same in virtually ever any city in the country. So here in Denver, you've got in the black community, the black neighborhood, formerly 5 points, still 5 points to some degree. But you've got a black Democrat chief of police. You have a black Democrat mayor. You have a district that's represented for 21 years by a progressive Democrat in D.C. Up until Cory Gardner's election, 20 months ago, you had the state represented by two progressive Democrats in the Senate. You've got a progressive Democrat governor. And yet we still run around looking at city council is all liberals, maybe except for maybe two. And yet we look around and say to ourselves, boy, look what the Republicans are doing to us.
Hey, good evening to you all. Hey, the reason I'm calling is because Raymond Doan, Casper Nelson, that's my son. He is a millennial. He's 26 years old. So that gives light that millennials are paying attention and they are tired of being what we say on the Democratic plantation.
So now I missed. He's voting for Casper?
No. Well, Raymond Doan is running against Angela Williams in the 33rd Senate District.
Okay, 33rd Senate District.
Yeah, and that's why I was calling. He is my son. He's 26. He's a millennial.
Nice.
Yes. So I thought I'd throw that out there because there is hope that the millennials are paying attention.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. However, what was interesting is our family members would ask in summer. Our close acquaintance would ask us, why are we Republican?
And what do you say, Anthony?
When I tell them, I say, we're not that monolithic. We're not that monolithic in churches.
Thank
so
you.
Why should we be that monolithic when it comes to our party affiliation?
Wow, that's a great, great answer there. Well, good luck to your son. We're not, I'll tell you the truth, I'm getting emails from people running in House races and Senate races. Because our radio station has such a huge reach, we don't have a lot of people on in the terms of interviews.
When I'm talking one-on-one, it's not about color for me. It's about access and knowledge. And the reason why I say that is because there are some very wealthy black people and there are some very poor white people. So if it was just about color, that wouldn't be the case. When I drive for Uber and Lyft at night for the past year and a half on 15th and Blake, there is a white guy on the bench. He lives on the bench. He's there every day, rain, sun. It doesn't matter what's going on with the weather. And I want to just pull over and just shake him and say, God, dude, man, you're white. What are you doing? Get up and live your life. What's going on? Because he doesn't have the access and the knowledge for him to be successful. So what my candidacy is going to do, what I'm going to do as a candidate, I mean, as a congressperson, is I'm going to bring access and knowledge into the areas that don't have it right now.